is one announcement I forgot to mention with our teen service, as we've done in the past years, that next Sunday night offering will go to the teen service and to the end of the year. They usually go to a conference at Beacon Baptist Church. Something's going on up here. Okay. So just so you know that the teens, so tomorrow, next Sunday night, just so that way you can plan, unless it's marked for tithes or marked for missions, it will go to the teenagers. And we, like I said, we try to send them out to a youth conference. And I know it's a tough time of year to add another conference on to the teenagers. So those that are faithfully involved in our church and our youth group is people we invite to come and be a part of that. So if you want to know how to give next Sunday night, I think it's a worthwhile cause. I've been to that conference a number of times. They get a lot of good preaching and a good time of fellowship. And during that Christmas season, it's nice to have something spiritual to do after Christmas. Sometimes young people are looking for things to do during that time, and it's a great thing to do. So I know most of the years they're very excited about that. I've talked to a few of them. They're excited about it this year too. And they're always thankful for when we have a part in sending that. So that's next Sunday night. And then our Sunday morning or Wednesday night's offerings will go that like they normally do the last few years to try to help provide for that. Colossians chapter number 3. And as we looked at this morning, we're talking about stewarding life. And we talked about what a steward was. And for those that were not here this morning, we're going to do a little bit of an overview. But I like that phrase that's up there on the screen. Life is God's gift to you. What you do with it is your gift to him. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4:2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. He said, what's the word steward? A steward is someone who spends by investment. A steward is a person who is commissioned to purposely and wisely appropriate the resources of a master or boss. And I dumb it down for me, and it's the idea of someone asked me to take care of something. Especially if someone had hired me to oversee their household, and oversee their investments, and oversee as someone who trusts me with what they have. And they're saying, I'm giving this to you. And the Bible uses that idea when it comes to our life, that God gives us life. And we talk about that, how God is a gift. That gift that God gives us is the gift of life and how we use that. It talks about, stewarding. We're talking about money. I didn't mention it this morning except for you to say that we weren't going to talk about it. Same thing with tonight. We're talking about stewarding our relationships. There's a lot of things that we should steward. We should steward our time. We should steward our talents. We should steward, the resources God gives us, all those different things. And tonight, there's so much we could talk about, but we're just going to focus on stewarding our relationships. And we answer this question, what is my purpose here on earth? What is it? Why am I here? And we looked at that this morning a little bit, and we talked about how life being a gift from God, but not to get God and just give us a gift. He gave us a gift for a purpose. He gave us a gift for a reason. And that gift that was given to us to bring glory to God, and we looked at that in Revelation chapter 4:11. We looked at that gift has been given to us to bring others to Christ. And we talked about here, God's saying, here's this gift of life that I'm giving to you. Now, once we're saved, the Bible says we've been bought with a price that we're not our own anymore. Because we've been bought with a price, we should want to glorify God with our body and our time. And that includes all of us, all of us. So are we going to be wise with it? And we used that illustration this morning talking about if someone gave you the chance to take care of something. Like I know some people have a vehicle that they really love and they trust. And if I got to borrow someone's truck or borrow someone's car, and they said, please take good care of it. And I came back and it was all dinged up and it was all messed up. And they wouldn't be happy with me. I wouldn't be a good steward of the opportunity that I had. And that's what I'm wondering tonight. And that's what we want you to look at tonight. Look at from this morning. Okay, life is a gift from God. We talked about God. We went and looked. God made us. God gives the ability to give life. God gives the ability to even extend life. God is sovereign in who he blesses in this life. We looked at all that today. It comes from God. He says, here's this gift. Here's life. Now, what are you going to do with it? How are you going to steward it? And we also looked about the greatest gift this morning, which is eternal life. As amazing a life gift it is, as amazing as the gift of life is, eternal life blows it out of the water. But tonight we're going to look at, and like I said, there are so many different things we can look at, but tonight we're going to look at this idea of stewarding relationships. Before we get there, I'd just like to read Colossians chapter number 3. And it's going to be a more of a topical message. We're going to look at how we can handle relationships a little bit better, how our relationships can be stewarded better by just looking at some scriptural principles, some common sense things to help us in our relationships. And, you know, it can work in a marriage. It can work with parent-child relationships. It can work with friendships. We're going to look at all those different type of things. But let's read Colossians chapter number 3. And I think it's interesting in Colossians chapter number 3, and we're going to read the whole chapter. We're not going to talk much about it, but we're going to read it, and we're just going to give a commentary. But I want you to see the transition here. God talks about it, how to live. He talks about what we're supposed to be doing, how we're supposed to be doing, what we're not supposed to be doing, what we're supposed to be doing. And then he says, this is how I want you to treat one another. So once we get our relationship with God right, once we're treating each other right, then this is the way you're supposed to live. But there's no way we're going to treat each other right unless we have a relationship with God right. It's that idea of making sure that our vertical relationship is right so that way our horizontal relationships can be right. Let's read here for a little while in Colossians chapter number 3. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ, he's talking about if you're a Christian that someday you're going to be risen with him, seek those things which are above, talking about keeping our minds and hearts on heavenly things, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And not only does he said seek those things, but he says in verse number 2, set your affections, the things that you love, the things that interest you, the things that makes your heart skip a beat, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And once again, it's here, our life is in God. Life is a gift that God's given us. How are we going to use it? When Christ, who is our life, he is supposed to be the center of our life, he's supposed to be who we live for, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Then he gives some instruction. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. He says, okay, if you're going to seek those things which are above, you're going to set your affections, you're going to have to mortify, put to death those fleshly natures you have. And then he gives some different ones. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil consumptuousness, and covetousness, which is idolatry. So he says, get rid of these things. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. He says, this is what you used to live with. This is what you used to do. This is the way you were supposed to act. But then he says, but now ye also put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. He says, let's get rid of these things. Lie not one to another. So there are some things that we need to get rid of. We're not supposed to be doing lying to one another. We're supposed to be resisting certain things. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. And these different things, you know, resisting our flesh, putting off our anger and our malice and our wrath, not lying to one another, these are going to help our relationships. These are things that are going to strengthen our relationships. God says, make sure you're not doing these things. And then he says, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. He's saying we all can do this as we put on Jesus Christ. Put on, therefore, as the elected God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. So you see, things that you're not supposed to do, things that you are supposed to put on. Forbearing one another, being patient with one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. This is tough. These are things that God's saying, this is what I desire for you to do. This is what stewarding your life is saying, okay, if I'm going to steward my life this, I'm going to take off certain things and I'm going to put on new things. Because when I take off these things, when I'm using these things such as not resisting the flesh and I have the wrath and the malice and the blasphemy in my life and I'm lying to people, I'm not stewarding the time that God's given me. But when I take that off, and I put on things such as kindness and humbleness, and when I learn to be patient with others, and when I learn to forgive, God says, that's when you're stewarding your life. That's when you're taking advantage of the opportunities that you have. That's when you're stewarding the relationships you have, because you can give God glory. What is the purpose of our life? It is to give God glory through our lives. God gets glory when we forbear. God gets glory when we forgive. God gets glory when we have bowels of mercy and kindness and humbleness of mind and meekness and long-suffering, because those are things we don't do naturally. God gets the glory for those things. We get the glory for those other things. Well, let's keep on going. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God, and listen, he gets great verses. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Now, so he has entered this and wrote this to prepare us for something. When you do all those things, now here's your role in the family. Lots of times people want to skip over all those things and say, well, I don't like it when God says I'm supposed to do this. And I don't like it when God says I'm supposed to do that. But when we want to steward our relationships and do what is right and living is right, we will have no problems doing what's found in 18, 19, 20, and 21. It is when we want to take our own personal and we resist God, and it's when we want to not take off the old deeds and don't care about glorifying God. Let's look here. It says in verse 18, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Now, a lot of people don't like that verse. It's found in the Bible. It's found in the scripture. It does not make a lady inferior. It does not make a lady less spiritual. My wife is not inferior to me. My wife actually is probably smarter than me in certain things. My wife has some talents that are better than me. That's the reason why they don't let me sing with them, and they just sing because she has a better talent than that. God brought us together because we have different talents. It does not make a woman more inferior. It just says, this is God's place for you inside the home. And as you look at that, and as you see that, well, say, Pastor, I have a problem with that. Then let's go back to verses 1 through 17. Let's go back. God has given you this life. God has made you this way. He's given you this role. And as he has given you this role in life, why did he give you that role? To make you miserable? You might feel that way sometimes. But why did God give us life? To bring glory to him. And he's saying, if you give glory to me by doing this, I'm going to get the glory. No one else is going to understand. They're going to look at it and think that you're foolish. You say, this is what God wants me to do. Let's keep on going. And I know some people think that the wives had the harder part, but I would contend with you that husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Loving your wives, it says in the book of Ephesians, as Christ loved the church, that is a very, very difficult thing to do. Not because wives are unlovely. No, instead, because me, I have a hard time being like Christ. So, and if you go back to Ephesians chapter number 4, it talks about the man probably about 10 different times, and it talks about the ladies 3 or 4 different times. It makes a great emphasis on it, and it even talks about submitting to one another at the beginning of Ephesians chapter number 4, but most men don't want to see that. Most men want to say, hey, it says submit, you better submit. But verses 1 through 17 gives us a heart. And if someone who has verses 1 through 17, then a godly wife is not going to mind submitting. But sometimes we don't act like verses 1 through 17. Let's keep on going. It says, husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Verse number 20, and you kids thought you were going to get out of it. It says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. See, if you're doing verses 1 through 17, he prepares our heart. He says, okay, now that your heart is ready, I want you to obey the Lord. He said, no, it says obey my parents. That's what it says. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. But you obey your parents because the Lord's asked you to do it. So you're also obeying the Lord while you're obeying your parents. Let's keep on going. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Why would he have to say that? Because fathers sometimes have do that. Sometimes fathers, once again, it's not the easiest thing to be a father. But if you got verses 1 through 17 done, you know what's going to happen? You're going to want to give glory to God. You want to encourage your sons, and you want to encourage your daughters, and keep on going. Verse 22, he said, well, good, I'm not married, I don't have any kids, I don't have to worry about any of this. Well, it talks to us here in verse 22. Servants, obey in all things your masters, according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. So this is saying those that have a job and work for those in the society, you're supposed to work and you're supposed to obey them and you're supposed to listen to them. But why do we do it? Not as men pleasers, but for who? For God. And singleness of heart. Why? Because we fear God. And then it goes, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. So when we're saying, you know, submit yourself to your husbands, and husbands love your wives, and children obey your parents, and fathers provoke not, and servants obey, we're doing this for God. We're not doing it for an individual, because it's not always easy to submit. It's not always easy to love. It's not always easy to obey. Why? Because we're fleshly. But God says, I'm giving you this gift of life. How are you going to steward it? If you want to make the most of your life, and if you want to bring the most glory, the maximum glory that you can bring to me in your life, this is how I want you to live. This is how I'm setting up the home and setting up the family. Why did God do it? He created us. He put the breath of life in through the nostrils of man. He gets to pick the rules. I don't, but he does. And let's keep on going. And it says, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive the wrong which he have done, and there is no respect of persons. So the night when we look at how to steward our relationships, I want us to just understand a few things. And these are just, like I said, topical things I've learned, I've read. Some of the stuff is stuff that I've done, and some of the stuff is things I've just learned over the years. And I pray they'd be help in your relationships. Like I said, 3 or 4 years ago, we spent 10 weeks talking about stewarding things. And we're not going to go over that again. But the Lord just kind of laid upon my heart that, are we stewarding our life, number one? In general, it is a gift from God. Are we abusing that gift? Are we squandering that gift? Are we spending that gift? Are we being a steward of it? And secondly, the thought that came to my mind and heart is, am I stewarding my relationships? And we're going to talk about that in a second. But let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and let's get started here. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for Colossians chapter number 3, because I wouldn't act that way without it telling me to. Lord, we wouldn't do that because we don't feel like it's what we should do. Lord, in your word, the God Almighty that put the breath of life in those nostrils and that created us, made us, says this is how you can bring glory in my life. And Lord, that's why you gave us life, is to bring glory to you for fellowship, and Lord, for honoring you, Lord, and to bring people to you. Lord, I pray that as we look at helping our relationships, help us look at these few things and learn from these things so we can grow, so we can give more honor and glory to you through our relationships. Lord, speak to our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So, really quickly, we looked at it a little bit this morning, but I'm going to highlight it a little bit tonight and emphasize it. And I want you to put in your mind, when I'm looking at how my relationships and how I think they should work, I want you to think about your own list, and I want you to write down your own list. These are the things I need to worry about, and they're in a list, and this is what I think is my list works, and this is how it spiritually works, and how this is how God will get the most glory. First thing is my relationship with God. How am I doing in stewarding my relationship with God? And I went over it a little bit this morning. If I am not right with God, none of my other relationships will be right. You say, what do you mean can't be right? I mean, you can't be right with your friend and be wrong with God. Let's put it this way. Remember, what's our purpose? Life is a gift from God. And if life is a gift from God, and if I need God's blessing to bring God's glory and to bring God honor and to bring God people to Jesus Christ, if it's not right with God, it doesn't matter how much my friend likes me. I'm not doing the purpose why he gave me life, why he saved me. If I'm not right with him, then I cannot be right with that friend. He says, well, yeah, we can be friends. We don't have any problems. But I'm not bringing the glory of God in this relationship. I'm not bringing this person to Christ if he's unsaved. I'm not encouraging him if he is a Christian and encouraging him to become more like Christ and encouraging him to live for God. And that's my plan and that's my purpose. That's God's plan and God's purpose, why he gave me this gift. You say, Pastor, friends are at the bottom. Yes, but it works the same way with all of that. Remember what I said today, this morning, is that if I physically did not provide for my family, many of you would say, I'm worse than an infidel. Physically, you should be providing for your family. Physically, you should have. God's given the husband the responsibility to lead his family, and the husband the responsibility to be the leader of the home. And yes, if we take care of things physically, that is important. But if we don't take care of things spiritually, aren't we just as bad as if we didn't take care of them physically? If we want a biblical marriage, a biblical home, we got to be people of the Bible. You can't have a biblical marriage and you can't have a biblical home if we're not people of the Bible. And so many times, I got a Christian home. I want a biblical marriage. I want this. I want that. But we're not willing to do that. That's not biblical. And it might be good. You might have been married for 50, 60, 70 years, all those things. But is it biblical? So we come to the spot, am I leading my family spiritually? And am I stewarding the family God's given me? So under the relationship with God, I think about my relationship with my wife. I believe the number one ministry besides my relationship with God is my relationship God's given me with my wife. The Bible says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Some people look at it this way, leaving, cleaving, and weaving. It's the idea that they're supposed to leave, they're supposed to cleave, and then they're supposed to become together as one flesh. And the point of the matter is, if I'm not right with God, I can't give my wife what she needs out of a husband that needs a leader. That's why my relationship, if I'm going to steward this life right, it's got to be, I got to get in the Bible, and I got to pray, and I got to have a good relationship with God so I can lead and I can be exactly what my wife needs. And then it steps down to my children. It's a relationship with my children and family. The Bible says, lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. If I think God has given me a great privilege in pastoring this church, which I believe he has, it's like here, this is God's church. We would all agree with that, right? This is God's church. This is not my church. God's church, and it being God's church, God says, I'm going to give you the responsibility and allow you to have the responsibility of help pastoring this church. That's a great privilege. You know that. And so what about that when God's given you a responsibility? He says, here's this child. See, to me, that's even a greater responsibility. Here's a child. Here is a life. I gave them the gift of life, but I'm giving you the gift to help raise them. That child's not mine. That child's God's. And if I'm going to steward, if I'm going to be a wise steward of that child's life, you know what I'm going to do? I'm not going to look at it and say, I'm going to raise that kid the way I want him to look and the way I want him to act. If I'm going to be a wise steward, I'm going to say, what does God want for that young person? And it means sometimes the things I would want for him, they can't be. I mean, the things that I desire for him in a fleshly way, that he should be able, well, shouldn't he be able to do this, and shouldn't he be able to do that, and shouldn't he be able to experience this and experience that? If God doesn't give that opportunity, I shouldn't feel bad about that. This is what God wants for him, and he's here and he's there. I shouldn't feel sorry for God putting him in those circumstances. God gave me that child, and he's given me the ability to raise him. So, but it doesn't, if I don't have my relationship with God right, then my relationship with my wife, I cannot be bringing God glory through my relationship with her, and I can't be bringing God glory with my relationship with my sons, and I can't give God glory with my relationship as a pastor and my responsibilities. And then we have friends, and friends are important. And I put three different things there, daily friends. And once again, this is something that a daily friend is someone you interact with on a daily basis. And I like the way they put it. And then there's intentional friends, people you on purpose spend time with. Because what is a friend supposed to do? What is a friend supposed to be? I think a good friend is someone who encourages you in your walk with God. Yeah, I'm sorry, but if some people are like, well, somebody I can talk to, someone I feel close with, those are all nice. But a person that I'm going to want to be intentional friends with is someone who is going to encourage me with my walk with God, or someone I can encourage with my walk with God, I can pour into my life so that way I can make a difference for them. You say, well, why would you want that? Because God gets glory. And when someone encourages me to live for God, what's going to happen? God's going to get the glory. But when I go and I have recreational friends, which it's fine, there are people who replenish us, there are people who we can enjoy, there's people who we can spend time with, there's people we can hang out with, that's all fine and that's all good. But there, as I'm stewarding my time with God comes first, and then my time with my wife and my family and my ministry responsibilities, and then it comes as other things. But those recreational friends many times are all the way up here, and they're competing with God for our time. That's not being a wise steward. That's not stewarding our relationships. You say, Pastor, you don't understand. It's hard in my family. You don't understand. It's hard with, you know, my relationship with God and hard with the relationships when it comes to church. God's given you a gift. It's life. Here's your life. How are you going to be wise with it? You know, if I've used this illustration before, if I let you watch my dog, or I ask you to watch my dog for a week, and my dog died because you guys did not take care of it, unless it was one of the dogs, I would be I would be unhappy. But we take care of something that someone's given us, right? We want that's someone else's car, that's someone else's house I'm sitting for, that is someone else's money, that is someone else's responsibility they're allowing me to be a part of. I'm going to take good care of that. Life is God. Gift to you. How are we taking care of it? So here's some relationship helps, and we will go through these quickly. There's some truths about relationships, truths regarding relationships. First thing is, steward relationships with truth spoken in love. Truth spoken in love. How we speak. Communication is so important when it comes to a relationship. How we talk to one another. The Bible says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. That idea of corrupt communication, anybody ever smelled something that was corrupt? It stinks, right? And we've heard some conversation that stinks. We've just heard some language that stinks. And that's what he's saying. Don't let your speech stink. There's no reason to talk like that. There's no reason to act like that. There's no reason to treat someone else like that. Instead, God has given you life, and he's given you the ability to speak, to use of edifying, to minister grace unto the hearers. So let's steward our relationships with truth spoken in love. Now, it's truth. Truth needs to be spoken. Truth needs to be said. But there's a way of doing it. Next thing, true friendship is built upon trust. Anger destroys trust. True friendship is built upon trust. The Bible says, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. Why is that? Because an angry man is going to teach you his ways. And if we truly want to regard our relationships well, we are going to be careful the way we talk to one another. We're going to be careful the way we talk to our wives, and we talk to our children, and we talk to our friends. When we talk to the people we're trying to minister to, it's not going to be a stinking conversation. It's going to be words of edification. It's going to be words of grace. And it's going to be ones that we can build upon trust. Now, I'm not good at that sometimes. You know, sometimes I used to be somebody that was very, very sarcastic, very quick-witted. Somebody had something to say, and many times I had to bite my tongue because that sarcasm, that smart-aleckness, that stinking conversation and communication. Well, I'm just trying to teach him something. The Bible says, say it in love. Sometimes there are hard things that need to be said, but doesn't mean that it needs to be said in a way that's trying to be angry and upset with someone. Now, don't get me wrong. I still joke with people. I still have a good time with people. That's not the conversation I'm talking about. I'm talking about trying to be hurtful with our mouths. Good friends are quick forgivers. Be a grace giver rather than a scorekeeper. And you think about that. The Bible says, and be kind one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Are we a quick forgiver? Or do we like to drudge up the past? You know, sometimes when we have conversations and we're upset with someone, we want to get our point across. You ever had a conversation with somebody, maybe it's your husband, maybe it's your wife, maybe it's your children, And only reason why you're waiting and listening is because you're ready to pounce on them. You haven't heard a word they're saying. All you're doing is listening to them so you can tell them why they're wrong. We need to learn how to be quick forgivers because God has told us to forgive others. God is, as we looked in these verses, he told us to put off certain things and put on certain things. And once again, we do not just allow people to sin and just keep on sinning and ruin our hearts and ruin our testimonies, but we should be a grace giver rather than a scorekeeper. And I have been good in the past to bring up things and say, well, you said this and you did this and you did that. And sometimes things are needed to be reminded of to try to help heal something, but that's not usually the case. Usually the case is the reason why I acted wrong and the reason why I responded this way and the reason why I did this, this, and this is because you did this and you did that. Well, if we would have forgiven them for doing this and that, you know what? Then we would have never done these things. Is that hard? Yes. Does that bring glory to God? Yes. Does that help in our relationships? Yes. Let's keep on going. It says, do not fear what others think. Live for God, for the glory of God. And you look here in verse number 23, and whatsoever you do, do as heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. If we want to steward a relationship, we're not going to worry what other people think. We're going to worry about what God thinks. We're going to remember our purpose in life, which is what? Bring glory to God. He's given you life. So how am I going to treat it? How is God going to get glory out of this situation? And he shows us the way that we are supposed to act. Limit expectation of friends. Find needs met in Christ. One of the biggest relationship problems is when someone does not meet the expectation that they think their friend should, or that their wife should, or that their children should, or that their husband should. And that unmet expectation, you know what that does? That causes harbor bitterness, anger, and frustration, and a lack of a desire to wanting to continue the relationship. That doesn't help anything. So how can we get God glory here in our relationship? We build a relationship on trust. We speak in a way that is truth, but speaking in love. We learn to forgive. We learn to live for God's expectations, and we learn to not expect others, not to limit our expectations of our friends. We can expect our kids to do certain things, can't we? We have to. The Bible tells us that. You mean with my husband and wife, I can't, you know what? There is a relationship there. There's communication. There's talking. So, next slide. These are some ineffective ways to deal with conflict. I've learned sometimes looking at it from the negative point of view makes more sense for certain people. You know, these are certain things that we should not do. Instead of just saying what we're supposed to do, if we say what we're not supposed to do, these are ineffective ways to deal with conflict. If you got a problem in a relationship, these are some things that we should do, should not do. First of all, failure to acknowledge the problem. I'm not good at this. There's been times in our church that there's been a little issue or a problem, and I just ignore it. And that's not something I need to be better at that. The Bible says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. You know, it's not the fact that I'm doing something wrong or someone else is doing something wrong, but if someone's upset with me, and the Bible says I'm supposed to go to them or they're supposed to come to me, those type of things, you know, not acknowledging the problem does not help anything. When you pretend it's not there, guess what? It doesn't go away. One preacher put it this way, pin down the causes before the causes pin you down. Pin down the causes before the causes pin you down. Get this right inside your home before there's a problem of divorce. Get this right before your home before your children leave and they don't ever want to come back home. Don't just say that there is no problem, because that's an easy thing to do is say, I'm not mad, I'm not upset, and just walk away because we don't have to deal with it. But that's not stewarding our relationships. Stewarding your relationships is talking truth and love and being forgiving and working with people. Withdrawal from relationship development. Withdrawal from relationship development. What does that mean? Well, I'm just not going to talk to my wife anymore. I'm just not going to talk to my husband anymore. I'm just going to, they're kids, they're acting that way, there's no hope for them. Someday maybe they'll learn. And we withdraw from the relationship and say, ah, forget it. We withdraw from the relationship of a friend or a ministry expect and say, oh, that person just can't, they'll never get it, and I'm just not going to deal with them, and I'm not going to talk to them, I'm not going to do it. That's withdrawing from the relationship, saying, that doesn't, you know what that helps? Nothing. Now, if there's someone who's living in sin and does not want to get it right, and, you know, we're going to try to help bring them back to Christ, and we're going to try to, that's something completely different. But I'm talking when there's a communication problem, when there's a conflict, when there's an issue, we should not ignore it. We also do not withdraw from the relationship development. I can't turn around and say, okay, me and my wife can't get this fixed. I'm just not going to act like I'm married to her anymore. Just some people do that. Well, if that's the way you're going to be, I'm just not going to be like a husband to you. That does not help. Next thing is ineffective is keeping score of all the wrongdoing. Keeping score of all wrongdoing. The Bible says be a grace giver, not a scorekeeper. Deal with the issue at hand instead of bringing up the past. It's something we talked about a minute ago. You know, let's make sure that keeping score doesn't really help anything. Moving quickly, next thing is attack the person. That's not effective. When you start yelling at the person and says, you know what, you did this, you know, that doesn't attack the problem. You know, instead of questioning the character, let the problem that their character caused happen and then point it back to where the real issue is. Now, this is why we're having a problem. Why are we having this a problem? And then let the Holy Spirit work in saying, you know what, maybe we should change this, this, and this. We like to attack individuals instead of attacking the problem. And in our relationships, if we really truly want to steward them, we're going to have to acknowledge when there's a difficulty. We're going to have to learn to say, God's given me this relationship, whether it's with children, with parents, with husbands and wives, with siblings, with church family, with all types of people, and say, God's given me this relationship. I want to steward this relationship. How can I steward this relationship to where God can get glory? How can I do that? And then also, keeping score. Lots of times we can bring up lots of things to tell people what they did wrong. But that's never really helped before in the past, has it? It's never really helped me before in the past. I've never won I won't call it an argument. I've never won a discussion with my wife because of the fact I said, well, because you did this, this, and this, it made it okay for me to do that. It never works. It's ineffective. Next thing I want you to see is not to let anger build up. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. So let's attack the problem, not the person. And I want you to know, you know, there is, you know, be angry and sin not. There is a righteous anger. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about relationships here and talking about how we should deal with one another to help bring glory to God. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. You ever tried that? Husband and wife look at each other. We should never go to bed angry. Man, there's some sleepless nights probably then. But that's the way it's supposed to be working. You're supposed to be able to come together and steward your relationship and maybe agree to disagree at times. And maybe, you know, the difference is there is not to let the anger build up inside of you. Not let it carry on and carry over. Sometimes when we let that anger build up, we ignore the problem. Say, I'm not mad. I'm not upset. Anybody ever told them? I'm not upset. And we just withdraw from the person. We let that anger build and build and build. You know what that usually is? A ticking time bomb. And they explode someday. And they explode one day. And they say things that they wish they never did. They do things that they wish they never did. And we need to be careful. Let's steward our relationships. Let's not let it be a ticking time bomb. And last but not least, six ways anger divides. And we're just going to hit these very quickly. It's in Ephesians 4:31. The Bible says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. It's similar to this verse you see in Colossians chapter number 3 when it talked about, you know, in verse number 8, it says, but now also put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. So these things are things that they said, let it be put away from us. Let it be taken from us. We should not have these things in our lives. In our communication, our relationships, if we truly want to steward, okay, I have this family, I have this friend, I have this ministry responsibility, these are all my responsibilities. These are things that are going to hurt this. These are things that are going to divide these relationships. First of all, bitterness, which means to cut or to prick. Something that we keep inside of our heart and we allow it to just simmer there. Wrath, the passion of anger. Anger, violent emotion and outbursts. Clamor, loud, noisy, complaining over and over and just being loud and obnoxious about it. These are things that we should not be doing. evil speaking, speaking slander, malice, the desire to malign someone's name. These are all things that God says, if you have a relationship, these are not the way you're supposed to treat one another. So here's the gift God's given us. He's given us life. And inside this life, he's given us resources. Inside this life, he's given us time. Inside this life, he's given us talents. Inside this life, he's given us so many things, so many opportunities. Our relationships are really important. How are you doing with your relationships? Take a look at that list. Like I said, mine was first God, my wife, my children, my ministry, then my friends. Where does that really rate when it comes to it? Many times, something is above God. You're not stewarding your life when you do that. Something is above where it needs to be. And because of that, the relationships are all thrown off. I want to encourage you today, go home and look at Colossians 1 through 17. And when you understand to let the Word of God dwell in you richly in your wisdom and admonishing one another, singing spiritually, when you can do all that, then with an open heart say, I can do these other things. So I think some of it means that we need to get our relationship right with God so our relationship with others will be good and fine. How are we doing stewarding our relationships tonight? Life is a gift from God. Are you using that gift wisely? Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed for our time of invitation. Thankful for what God has done in my heart and life about wanting to use all the resources God's given me. One of those things is relationships. One of those things are things I need to work on, strive to be better at. I want God to get glory in my relationship, whether it's family or just friendship or church related. Have we been stewarding those things in our lives? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for all the opportunities you give us. Lord, even our relationships, we can bring glory to you. We can bring glory in our talents. We can bring glory in so many different ways. Help us consider some of those things that are difficult for us to deal with, difficult to look at, difficult to understand and say, Lord, I know you desire for me to do this. Help me with this. Help me have the right spirit. Help me have the right speech. Help me have to be sensitive with these relationships you've given me. Help me not to be trying to break them up. Help me not try to bring glory to myself or harm these relationships.